Did you bite your foot again?
I'm just gonna hold it.
That's great. So I'll do a countdown. So. Okay, welcome back to episode 11 and 12.
Yes.
Of Queen of Embers. I'm your game master, Daniel Fox. This is the gang, the cult, the playtesters, the people who made Zweihander, now Mangash real, and we'll make Queen of Embers real. We are back after a break, although those of you who are probably watching, listening, whatever, probably wouldn't see the break because you're getting an episode kind of in delay.
Right.
But it's beautiful here in Missouri. No snow this week, so it's fine.
we have a new
player at the table. It's a puppy. Her name is Sadie. She will be role-playing a puppy named Sadie.
Or Beaver Toes.
She's so big.
She can play.
Tim is now playing a rat catcher and has his tiny dog.
The Cavalier Cocker Spaniel was a rat catching dog. So there we have it. Never have rats, I hope. So Walter is back.
Yes,
which is awesome. He's obviously missed a couple. He missed a couple of sessions, which are four episodes to people who are watching. But he missed a couple sessions, but that's fine. But some fun stuff has happened. Since then, this is Walter's first time playing with K2. I always go back to, what is that, Lemonheads? Is it Lemonheads? And if you see K, tell her that I'm alright. It's a song about an ex-girlfriend. You guys remember this song from the 90s?
Yes.
No. I do not.
I knew you remember that.
Of course.
Being that we were both kind of alternative music nerds.
Baby Bitch is the ex-girlfriend song that I always remember.
By Ween, yeah. So we got a new microphone, which we should have better sound quality now, and it's hanging from up above, so it'll keep our dice rolls and paper shuffling and stuff from joining the mic. But we have our soundbar up there now too, which means we can start using ambient sound by Sirenscape.
Sirenscape.
Yeah, yay. Thanks, guys. Which is super cool. So without further ado, let's just jump right in. So Walter. From your recollection, from Alistair's recollection, where do you remember leaving off?
Well, the key thing that I think Alistair last actually perished in a very heated battle aboard a slaver ship.
That's right.
And he came to, and we had meetings about the purposes of the Dufresne agency there in town with a sergeant who was somebody I hopefully can remember his name right offhand. But
Lieutenant Reich,
we're recounting the events. I think from Alistair's point of view, though, he probably doesn't remember anything since the incident. I assume that he was...
Oh, that's a good point.
He was severely concussed, injured, basically should have died, and is confused as to his mental state.
That's a perfect setup, I think, too, since you've been gone. We will pick back up with kind of what your perspective in a few moments, but I want to do a recap of where we left off last session. Like, what happened? A lot happened last session, but what did that morning start out with? What's the first thing that your characters noticed?
That morning we started out with... what sounded like kind of an argument at first outside, and then we saw three men with triangle-shaped hair.
Pharisee.
Yeah.
Murder face. Murder face.
Yeah, that's it. Throw this man into a pile of manure because he was a gong farmer, gong scraper.
Well, that's where we stopped. That's where the session stopped.
No.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Was that where we started?
No.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of investigation.
Okay, so I'm sorry. My apologies. We'll keep going.
And basically we tried to stop the fight. We did stop it, but not in time for the poor victim who was drowning in literal shit.
Doo-doo.
We tried to give him the kiss of life, but... The dice was not in favor. As a matter of fact, it was a critical failure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Totally dead.
Yep.
Warren.
And so then, after that, we decided we needed to take him to the meeting, which there's a... I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. There's an actual guild, or
gunnery, and
the Night Soil Collective.
Night Soil Collective. Okay. Yeah.
What a name.
They meet in the mornings outside of town, and so it was pretty darn early in the morning, and we were gonna take them to that meeting.
I feel like we're missing quite a bit of having prior to
yes,
that, though.
Yes, we are.
That's where we ended the session, but where did it begin?
Leland in the square. That's where it all began. We went to search out the smell.
So, what can you tell me about the smell?
It's being called the Reek.
That's right.
So that's the colloquial name, or the name that the city has given to it. And I mean, now, even back where we were at, and what is Visayas Square?
Visayas Square, yeah.
Yeah, Visayas Square. They're even calling it the Reek. It's gotten that far.
It hasn't been around for very long, but everyone's blaming the Gong Farmers.
Since the night.
Yeah.
Everyone's blaming the Gong Farmers for some reason, even though there's always been the stench of sewage, but
now it's bad.
This is different.
Right. It's to the point where it's making people sick.
In fact, I believe that Harper Clavager is suffering from the Reek Sting.
Yep, Reek Sting. Got that written down underneath injuries.
And we ran into the 13 that were led by Sam.
That's right. Yeah. The other one, the other thing that we met.
The Revelation, Join the Prophet, etc.
Yeah, there is.
Right, we have a pamphlet that has all that information.
I do. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a little tract. There was a political agitator who was standing atop a empty gunpowder barrel in the middle of Founders Square, somewhere on the other side of Durendal, and he was preaching of. In fact, I think you can find precisely what he was preaching about.
Break the chains against the king.
That's right. He was saying, join the 13, join the revolution, rally behind the prophet as he liberates the workers from their ghastly working conditions and breaks the chains of the crown that binds us.
And then, you know, ghastly, the Reek, kind of all fits in. We also have to meet Sir Leland, the giant asshole who runs this district for the Legate. No.
Brigandine.
We're the Legate, sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, close. I miss a week and I forget everything.
That's fair
point. Yeah, but Sir Leland basically told us we weren't welcome.
If there's any trouble, call him.
Right.
Don't deal with it ourselves.
Don't pull your sword. Don't help. Don't do anything to help. So.
He said specifically, don't kill anybody. This is my district.
Yeah, don't kill anybody. But he also said don't pull your sword.
He said don't pull your knives.
Yeah, don't pull your knives.
He didn't want violence out of us, pretty much.
Right. Right. Avoid violence as much as possible. So, Mr.
Terrellman
had to tell his soldiers that we probably could have saved this guy if we could have pulled our swords. And, of course, as usual with this group, we stirred the trouble with Leland. Well, Terwin and I stirred the trouble with Leland.
I tried.
Fair point.
She
used
tried
my
to
name.
It. She tried to fuse it, and we just pissed in his oats.
Right, and but you know, to be fair, considering Terwin's track record, he actually was on good behavior.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
That is a fair point.
word of the assault in Visayas Square didn't take long to move between Brigandine Station to Brigandine Station. Remember, it's only been 3 nights since Penumbra. And that's actually where we will begin early in the morning. Alistair, you awaken from in a bed, in a place you don't recognize. You have a bandage around your head, and your wounds have been... You've been on the mend, but consciousness has come in fits and starts and stops. You've been having these really, really strange dreams of seeing yourself leaving the city. You've been having these very strange dreams of your family and of this other person who looks like you, talks like you, but is not you. You hear a bit of a ruckus as you kind of come to, and you realize it's very, very early in the morning.
I'll try to hobble my way up, see if on pins and needles with my legs probably, like, largely asleep, to see if I can get to a window to look out to figure out where I am. Yeah. Like, if I'm back home, where am I?
You stare outside, and you kind of wipe the glass of the window. It's an autumn morning, so the windows are a little fogged up. You can make out these kind of gray shapes until you kind of wipe away the fog, and you can see the other agents of the Dufresne and some woman you don't recognize, and they're standing outside over what appears to be a body lying in the middle of the street, in the middle of the cobblestone. You're not home, but you're not really sure where you're at either. You're definitely in Durendal, but you don't recognize your surroundings. And there's this smell. Like, this really, really bad smell. You know, like, the West Bottoms always has kind of a... Or East Bottoms has, like, kind of pervasive, kind of strange smell.
Sure, the dog food plant.
Yeah. There's this smell that lingers everywhere that seems to be ever-present in the air, and you can't readily identify where it's coming from. It's just strong. It's like, it seems like it's kind of penetrated your clothes. At first, you think maybe it's just because you haven't bathed in a couple days, but the smell is wretched. You wash your face, and the smell seems to cling to your clothes and your hair and your beard.
I'll rub my fingers along, like, the bandage and put them up to my nose to see if it's infected.
It is not. In fact, as you can peel away the bandage, you can see good pus. It's pure and white.
So the stench isn't coming from me.
No.
Unusual. I'll sort of hold my head and see if I can, like, unblur my vision enough to find clothes and get dressed.
Meanwhile, outside of the cloakroom, out in the street, you're looking toward this fellow who, if you remember, the brigandine mm-hmm. told you he is a man named Ed Knightman. And that he and his family live on the outskirts of town. In your head, Banneker, in your head specifically, there was a name mentioned that the Brigandine spoke of, a name that's very familiar to you. Sylvia Corvino. And in the assailants of Ed Knightman were in fact her goons. You've not mentioned at this point your association with her to anyone. No one probably even knows, no one would know save for you. When they mention that name, though, you can feel this kind of like, it's kind of like this, uh-oh. Like, you can feel this kind of pit in your stomach because of your association with her and her rough trade. You didn't realize she was here in Durendal, though. The Brigandine stick around for just a few more moments to answer any final questions, but this poor fellow who was literally drowned in the night soil he was to collect in his hand-drawn cart is now covered with a bedsheet. And stumbling out the door comes Alistair Krim, his eyes are dilated. He looks like he's unsure where he's at. He looks like he's been taken with a bout of energy. He's just kind of looking around, confused. You can see your friends, Alistair, all four of them. However, Amadeus Chandler, the bell guard, is not here. Instead, there is a woman. A woman who you know by the name of Elisa. She is a Dufresne agent, and essentially she's internal affairs. You know that much about her. She's QA.
Yeah, we probably have.
Whoa there, partner. What are you doing out of bed?
Sorry. Sadie's playing a character. She's the
she's a rough and tumble dog.
She's a rough and tumble tumbler.
Beaver toes, go.
What is Sadie's profession?
Rat catcher dog.
Cute.
She's a slayer.
She likes a slayer.
Yeah, that's her professional trait.
That's
cute.
Right. Cute.
This one of the slavers, then. I point towards the body.
No. This, you've been out for a couple of days. We probably should catch you up.
This man here is a unfortunate victim of, gang violence. And,
are we that gang?
No.
Says very flatly.
We tried to say it.
Lisa raises an eyebrow and writes it a book again.
For some reason, Alistair, here in this beautiful metropolis, a soil collection is popular enough that two gangs are fighting over it.
Apparently there's some trade about where you can saltpeter and then gunpowder, and apparently shit's worth its weight in gold.
Or that's what the soldier said.
But, well, we're gonna... I grabbed a blanket something inside from the tavern to help cover up the body.
Yes.
And I would have also grabbed a little bit of water to help clean him up. And then we were going to wrap him up, and I think put him on Matthew was the idea. Yeah.
As you step outside, Alistair, the smell, it's even worse out here. And at first your eyes are drawn to this cart that is literally heaped with human dung. There are gnats and flies buzzing around it. It is covered by a canvas, but you can see it's kind of, the wheels are a bit literally shitty. These wooden wheels are covered in crap. And this would not be uncommon. Dyers and tanners use piss to create dye. And the night soil is oftentimes collected and resold as fertilizer. But as you know it here in Durindal, because it is literally that where the king has sourced out all the gunpowder in all of Aglador, the night soil, as it is properly called, but as it's called in the streets, shit, human shit and human feces is used to blend for saltpeter, which is obviously an alchemical agent necessary for gunpowder.
Where the hell are we?
What is this burrow called? The riverfront? The stank reek area?
I never remember that.
This Riverside. Is a Founder Square, I believe.
Riverside, that's it. Riverside.
I believe it's the Gut Bucket is the inn we're staying
at. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I thought you were at the cloakroom. No. Yeah, kind of turning around, you could see this old defunct catapult sitting, kind of resting nearby, covered in graffiti. And adjoining it is this kind of rambling building that makes up the wine sink where you're staying, a place not good place in the sense of it's not nice as it was in the cloakroom back at Messiah Square. But a number of artisans and slaughtermen and tanners who would share drinks and swap stories would likely come here. This whole district smells. But that smells of cattle and slaughter and feces. But the smell of the reek is something entirely different. It almost seems to overwhelm the rest of Riverside. The smell, you can't quite put your finger on or your nose in what the smell may be, but it's pretty bad. In fact, Alistair, as you look to Harper, his eyes are like covered in like this yellow gunk, and they're beet red.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of staying around here so much, so we want to get a move on.
What did we do to get on the bad side of the office? Looks over at Elisa.
Well, she came on her own accord.
Huh.
Just so happens she had a reason to stay.
It's quite funny, though, that you keep thinking Boats there's something fire. You have done enough for me to have been here.
Yeah, funny that.
Well, there's no need to rehash fires and slavers. And, well, she knows all the stories.
And children and accidental combustion, yes.
Way I figures it is, we ain't done enough to warrant any attention until she would have already been in transit.
Well, the Brigandine doesn't really like us either. I don't know if that's... A fair assumption of what we've accomplished so far.
I haven't noticed.
But we're doing well. We're doing well, Alistair. We've moved up in accommodation standards. I'll do a gracious hand towards the gun bucket. I think you might have fleas now.
Might is a strong word for a very strong possibility.
Yes, yes. But you look like you're not dead, so I'm happy for that.
That's about as good as we could name it.
I've been...
Such a compliment.
Been worried sick about you.
Yeah.
I still feel a bit responsible for how things turned out.
Well, I mean, we're all gonna die sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite nihilistic.
100% true.
Well, if you're upset, make sure to give him an earful as I point towards his ear.
Ah, yeah. that's good, boy. I appreciate you giving me the room overlooking the dung pile. That's the most scenic thing we got.
We tried. We really did. We wanted to spruce you up, but unfortunately, duty called and gut bucket was there.
So,
I thought I went for the low-hanging fruit.
Well, if you're not here for the red tape, who did you piss off to get this plum assignment?
I didn't. But I do have things to look into and things to check on. Once again, though, quite interesting that the most important thing you find is you think I'm here for you.
Hey, something changed. That thing is you. I would be remiss if I didn't ask questions, right?
I think he's referring to your role within the organization.
My role is none of your concern.
That's what they all want us to think, but...
I've done nothing to impede what you've been trying to do.
You know, I was about ready to say, despite what she's... What her position is within the agency, we've actually gotten along rather swimmingly. So.
Swimmingly.
Yeah.
Alright, well.
We've got things we need to do. We need to see about getting this man on to his family. And we also need to see about getting you some attention. You look like you need it.
I feel fine. I don't need any more attention. I just want my fucking clothes and my boots.
Not attention as in like, oh, hi, how are you? That sort of attention. No, attention as in like, we need to get you patched up.
You mean a mender?
Yeah.
My wounds, they're not infected. They'll heal enough in time.
Am I going to have to make an order?
Well, you've heard the man. This is his body.
I feel fine. I don't know why I feel fine. I will tell you, I shouldn't feel fine. But, honestly...
That in and of itself should be a concern, shouldn't
it? And believe me, it is, but I feel good.
If it's a matter of...
I feel honestly good.
If it's a matter of coin, I can see to you.
It's not coin. I'm telling you, I'm not hurt.
We got a whole pile of it. It's his.
Right, so...
Well, if the man is sure, then...
I'll show them the wounds that have, like...
The wounds are clean, they are bandaged, they are stitched, but otherwise he is what we call ship shape, save for this kind of haunted look in his eyes.
I'll tell you.
I don't know, I've seen that ship, it's not in any shape.
Not much
shape.
I can do about that. Looks pretty good to me.
That ain't right, but I'm telling you.
Alright, well, gods work in mysterious ways, so...
That they do.
We'll just count this as a blessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
We literally have shit work to do, so.
Yeah.
Well,
we
I'll leave Matthew. You guys pull the cart.
Boss, I do way better with scouting and forward movement and cart pulling.
I'm just going to straight up say I'm not one to pull a cart. Especially a shit cart.
Oh, you high and mighty types. I'll do it.
I'm not high
in height. Warren hefts both of the arms of the two-wheeled hand cart and will begin to kind of amble along as you place the body over the haunches of your storm horse and cover him.
And as you begin to kind of move through the city along the cobblestone, the city begins to come to life as light rises from the east. A brisk autumn morning. It doesn't take you too long to kind of pass through this somewhat busy riverside area, and there'd be no mistaking where you're at or where you're heading, for Riverside literally runs parallel to the Bastards River, and you can see a great number of cattle kind of being brought in from outside the city, being brought to these cages to be slaughtered. There are tanners and stretched hides and all manner of undesirables who do the undesirable work in the city here, as the slough-off is literally bucketed into the Bastards River in places. The river itself here is kind of murky and has this kind of low film on it. And you're like, this has got to be where the smell is coming from. This place is horrendous. That's right. The sound of the animals being slaughtered, the smell of urine and shit, the buzzing of gnats and flies around the cart of dung you're hauling. I mean, all signs would point that Riverside clearly is the source of the smell. That is at least until you get to the very edge of Durendal. You enter what you would believe to be a rural area. You can hear birds. You can see a few animals wandering about. And you come to, well, ostensibly, which is where you would believe that the Night Soul Collective would be. There's this kind of burgeoning village just outside the city walls. Just right outside the city walls. No, there's gates, but there's no one really watching the gates. There's just a number of people kind of passing back and forth. Peasants and laborers and all manner of other folk. You leave the city behind, and the smell is even worse here. There are these very tall dunghills kind of mounded up like 10, 12 feet in height and diameter around these cesspits of green water. This very kind of acrid smell lingers in the air, and the smell of moldering dung. But what is most surprising to find here is even though the homes are kind of mostly wattle and daub, many are being replaced with stone and brick homes. They're being torn down as this village is beginning to rise up from its what appears to be paltry and poor and undesirable work to become a literal village.
Makes sense.
See? Fecal pace.
A few kind of pass back and forth here and there with hand carts full of night soil. Others have, like, broomsticks with piss on buckets as they're walking toward this small village there's literally a post that says Night Soil Collective, Undesirables Only, upon it.
Undesirables Only.
Like, boss, I don't know if I'm allowed in there.
I think you'd fit right in.
I am not undesirable.
You can wait out here then if you want to.
Oh, the undesirables only, I should mention, is actually graffitied on the wooden post.
Yeah.
But the wooden post says Night Soil Collective upon it.
Oh, I mean, he's got a point. He is a pretty looking man.
It's just true. Even men notice, like yourself.
Everyone's mom says they're special and pretty.
Hey, if you don't want to come, you don't ask to. Because it's this sign.
I'll tie my handkerchief a little tighter.
And
I'm ready, boss.
I'm afraid I'm still a little confused as to why we want to dig through the leavings.
No, we ain't going to dig through them. You're just going to come along because you're undesirable. Don't worry. We're turning this man into his family. I'm going to ask a few questions, too.
And this is where his family...
Yeah. Yeah, this whole village here is full gong farmers. It's where they collect the night soil. Collect, if.
Yeah, you see, some people think that this reek, as they call it, is the cause of these people. I don't reckon it is, because, well, the reek don't smell like shit. It smells like the reek. So we're going to see if we can get them to collaborate, help.
Elisa.
Can we smell the reek?
Well, no.
Smell is horrible here.
No, can we smell? It just smells like shit. Or does it smell like the reek?
It smells like both.
Well, it does smell like both. Okay. Okay.
We on a first name basis yet?
Yes.
All right. You can stay here too if you want. Cut seeing as a sign and all, but I'd appreciate it if you both would come, but I ain't gonna make you.
Well, there are those that find my last name pretty undesirable. It's fine.
One thing to know about Elisa Alistair is that she is a Marius. She is Cole Marius' daughter.
Huh.
One of the most. One of the king's counselors. Infamous. Oh. Warning shots, not words. He's got kind of a. He's got a pretty bad reputation.
Have I heard about that reputation?
Yep.
I'm a relatively new.
Even as far as the north, would you have heard of the King's Counselor? Now maybe not the bad. I mean, maybe not the bad stuff, but you certainly know the name Cole Marius.
All I'll just right. Let out a.
So. Is everybody coming?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boss. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do this.
Cart won't push itself.
You know, again, the commoners, it's just like me. So, it's probably good that I come.
Warren gives
maybe
you a sidelong glance.
Commoners. I find they don't quite care for that a lot.
That's better than being called lowborn.
Churls?
You know, you do what you must.
We will go with folk.
No, can't say that.
Can't say that one either.
Because what if they're folk?
I'll leave it to the boss to talk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because we don't know if they're folk or not.
Huh? Whatever, boss.
I once saw it written out. It's folk.
I don't know what that is.
But it's got two Fs.
Ah, okay. Maybe we should, let's go see the Sam. Is it Sam too? Sam Jr.?
Let's go see the Son of Nightman.
Son of Nightman.
Sam was from the 13th.
So you will inquire within the Night's Will Collective for Ed Nightman's son?
Right.
Ed Nightman.
Well, it won't take too much of a haggle or difficulty to say. Oh yeah, old Ed Nightman, his son lives out just around that hill. And when they say hill, it's like it looks like an artificial hill that you would guess, because it's covered in grass. You would guess literally was a pile of dung. It just kind of grew over. And it's a house not too far from it. The house is just outside of this cesspit, a low, swampy, watery area where you can see this machine of a sort kind of working water, and the water is kind of yellow and brackish, and there are these others who are, it looks like there's kind of like these wooden, wooden gutters that are kind of interlinked together that seem to spill the water forth somewhere else, and there's just this kind of looks like this kind of very kind of archaic factory of a sort, comprised of wood and shit water and a windmill. And
is it like a water wheel, but it's
yeah.
set up to churn piss and shit?
Yeah.
A series of troughs.
A series of troughs, yes. Imagine what you would see in Deadwood.
Yeah,
like, in mining town. Kind of mm-hmm. like that. And okay. you can see that there are these locals, and they're clearly indigents, and the fact that they're probably all not from Durendal proper, but they appear to be foreign. You can tell by the way they speak, their manner of dress. Just a mishmash of people. And you come to this small house where Ed Nightman's son must live. You rap on the door.
Did they say his name? Anyone?
Yeah, Charles. Or Chuck.
Chuck.
Huh. Oh, they say all work has dignity. I'm gonna put that to the test.
There's no answer at the door, but a fellow kind of begins to walk across. He's wading through the cesspit with these tall leather waders as he's... And he's got this shovel that's kind of like wet and sloppy on one side, slung over the shoulder. And he has this kind of bandana over his face and this hat on his head. He's dressed for the weather, but he's also dressed for the business he's doing. His sleeves are rolled up and he begins to approach. You see that he has a very distinct limp. In fact, you can see that there's this kind of literally shitty looking bandage wrapped around his leg. And he has like this big old black eye and a swollen ear. Looks like he got boxed in the face recently. This massive purple and yellow bruise on his head. You come a calling, he says. You come a calling? This man's a Gralstetter.
Are you Mr. Charles Nightman?
That's the name that the steward gave me. He takes the hat off and lowers the bandana. A handsome looking fellow for being a gong farmer. Dark hair, blue eyes.
Well, the name's Telwyn Forrester. I'm with the Dufresne Agency. And I'm afraid I've got bad news for you.
He looks toward the cart, and he looks toward the horse, and he quickly puts it together on his own. He bites his lip. Son of a bitch.
My condolences.
Sorry, son.
We scared those parasitic bastards off, but we didn't get to them, son.
Corvinas.
Yeah, that's what the brigandine soldiers said.
He rubs his face, almost kind of fighting the pain as he rubs where he clearly has been hit in the face.
Yeah, they told us about that, too.
You see him. He begins to pull off his waders and kind of washes his hands into fresh water. He pumps like a water pump. And washes his hands and such. You take his father down, and he sees him, and he shakes his head. He covers the body. I didn't think it would come to this.
I only wish we could have gotten there sooner.
I certainly appreciate you bringing me pa back.
Seemed like the right
What was your name again?
Well, I only told you mine. My name is Telwyn Forrester.
Thank you.
Hamish Clavager.
Benicus Steeples the second.
Lisa Marius.
Alistair.
You probably already know me, Warren Rhodes.
I heard you. He says, not quite dismissively, but doesn't meet Warren's eyes at all. Well... You might want to consider taking this to Henry Black.
That was our next stop, but we thought it prudent to visit you first.
We'll leave this cart here if that's okay.
Of course. You've got my things. I'll have a look to my paw, I guess.
Well, if there's anything we can do, I'd like to know.
Violence begets violence in this place, he says. Not as much as there as you can do, he says, defeated.
Right, well. Don't know much else to say, so again, my condolences. And he awkwardly turns around.
Is there somewhere you would like us to take him to?
I'll bear him here.
Well, inside the house or something.
He's fine here. Thank you, though, ma'am. He tips his hat.
Where might we find this Henry Black?
Henry Black got the big house on the hill.
All right.
You won't mistake it.
Well, thank you kindly. Mar bless.
Thank you for your time.
Condolences.
Yes.
He gives a deep sigh as you turn around and leave him. You can't help but feel a little bit bad, of course. I mean, but it certainly speaks to something that may be going on here. Something perhaps that the train should look into.
I give a sign to ward off the poison cradle as I leave as well.
Okay. Hashtag. Poison cradle. Or number sign is all white men know it as.
What's that number sign?
He gives it a simple hand gesture and no one pays attention. But you head your way toward the big house on the hill. And there's no mistaking that big house on the hill. It kind of overlooks this, what looks like almost like a branch of the Bastards River. That appears to be very fresh, clean water. It's surrounded by a lot of greenery, and although the trees' leaves have turned a number of colors, not quite have fallen down. These are large deciduous trees. From here, looking back toward Durendal, you can see what they commonly call the Anvil, the city itself. It kind of almost seems to make sense because you can see this kind of haze lingering over it. But despite the fact that there's this kind of pastoral area where you're entering and you're kind of heading up this long hill toward this old, kind of, not old, but a newer stone cottage, a large cottage at that, the smell of the reek is still pervasive. The smell of shit is not nearly as strong here. The smell of the night soil, the piss, but the smell of the reek is undoubtedly kind of lingering everywhere here, despite the fact that you're maybe a mile outside of Durendal.
Does it seem worse than it was in Durendal?
Not in particular. It just seems to be the same.
Mm.
It's a little bit more pungent here, if only because you're further away from the smell of the shit in the Night Soil Collective village.
So it's all you smell.
We're outside of the middle of the Venn diagram.
That's right. That's right. Shit, reek. Here's the middle. This is the Night Soil Collective.
Yes. So you're perfectly in the middle.
You're just, you know, a little left, upper left quadrant.
Smell that fresh shit and piss, right? Oh, or the reek.
You head up this cobblestone laddin road that appears to be recently laid. In fact, as you begin to approach the stone cottage, it's a little bit larger than you had initially anticipated from the distance. It appears to be rather formidable, and it's still in a period of construction. You can see that there are a number of stonemasons working outside who are, and they're literally taking the night soil, and they're using it for paving on the cobblestone road. There are a few washerwomen outside tending to washing clothes. There's a few horses kind of running around in the field nearby. You can see this man easily has a large number of acres because you can see the stone acreage, like those low stone walls, ramble all the way out into the wilderness, out into the trees and the well beyond Durendal from here. And there's this old man. A wiry man of really indeterminate age that must be Henry Black. He's got this tightly kind of pulled back knot of hair, a white beard, in what would appear to be the Renaissance equivalent of bib overalls. he's wearing a leather frock that a blacksmith would. With the around his neck, like he's a worker of sort, but the front of it's down, and he's wearing this loose white shirt. Ho there, the fellow says.
Oh.
He walks off the steps of his veranda from the cottage, and remember, it's in a state of being still built at this point, but part of it seems to be habitable. The place, the grounds around the cottage are populated by other workers, like maybe 7 or 8, doing different tasks, attending to other things. This doesn't look like no gong farmer you know of. He approaches immediately and places his hand in Banagher's, and he's got this very firm handshake and very leathery skin. His hands are calloused from time and time of work. The man's probably been working for most of his life. You can see deep lines like beneath of his eyes. Who was the? You remember Walking Dead? Like, is it season 2? Who was that farmer with the white house?
Oh yeah,
Herschel.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit like Herschel from Walking Dead.
Mr. Black?
You can call me Henry, he says. His voice is a bit wet and gravelly. He clears his voice, as
I'll
I do too.
Step aside and say, this is Terwin Forrester, Lieutenant Forrester.
Y'all Brigandine, he says.
No, we're not. He's from the Dufresne Agency, as I flash my badge.
Ah, Steeds Hill, he says.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Lieutenant Terwin Forrester, as I was already introduced as, and we thought we'd come and talk to you a few things that we've discovered and have some questions and maybe use the ones that's knowing.
All right. I suppose we could do that. Why don't you come on up?
Sure. I'll let the others introduce themselves.
Hey, you introduce yourselves to him. Mm-hmm. He nods. He smiles. All right then. Well, come on up. Let's have ourselves a chat. You walk up to this stone cottage with this kind of winding veranda around it, and you find places just outside to sit on, whether it be a metal bucket or an old discarded box. As you look inside the windows, you can see that furniture is being moved around. It looks like it's moving day, or people are getting settled in. You can see a few dogs barking and yapping in the streets, in the nearby. There are people inside, voices of cheer and noise, children, both small, both younger and grown. Likely two generations, you would imagine. He looks old enough to be a grandfather, but he could easily pass for somebody in his late 40s. He is, without a doubt, a Grawlstetter. This very, as you know, a very parochial and, people from the north, much like Warren Rhodes. People of simple values and pragmatism. Strange names at that, too. Sound like old Wild West names. Henry Black.
We catch you at a busy time.
Well, we've been doing a bit of work here today. We're just getting settled in. Just got the roof put up last night. Some work being done about here, but you're fine. I was just getting ready to get out into the fields. So what brings you all out this way?
Well, as I understand it, you is the leader of the Night Soil Collective, eh?
Manner of speaking, are you the leader of the Dufresne?
As far as all the Dufresne that's here, yeah.
All right then.
But not the entire agency, no.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't call myself no leader, but people come to me for advice.
All right. Well, you got some bad news.
Well, I wouldn't expect the Dufresne or the Brigandine to come unless they had some bad news to share. We'll spill it. What's happened now?
We came across some people accosting him.
Ed Nightman.
Ed Nightman. A bit too late.
Nightman's son got... Too late, you said.
Yeah. He's dead.
Damn.
What was you saying about Nightman's son?
He got accosted too. The Brigandine told us about it.
Right.
That's why it is all beat up.
Nightman and several others got accosted just about a week ago in the street. I didn't think it'd come to this. Them sons of bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Brigandine said it was the...
He's clenching his fist. His knuckles are white. He looks like he's about to stand up and break a board. He looks very frustrated and angry.
One thing.
You can see his face begin to flush red.
We're looking into this. We wanted to know if there's anything you knew to help us out.
Help out? I already talked to Sir Lino about helping out. The fuck, he did anything? He stands up and kicks the bucket backwards he was standing on. He begins to pace along the exterior of the house.
So you have the same feelings as we do about Sir Lino?
Yeah. I was about to
that
say
we
it's
can
funny.
Agree on.
It's funny you should mention that. As soon as we walked into what square? what's the
Founders.
Name? Founders Square.
Founders Square. He made sure to find us out and tell us that we couldn't do much of anything in the square.
Fuck. This whole damn war, this, forgive my French, or sorry, he says, forgive my Walstanian, he says as he looks toward you. That Corvino bitch.
No forgiveness needed.
You've got...
The appropriate answer is, I speak Walstanian.
You've got nothing but open ears here, friend. You can say what you need to.
We all do Dufresne, so I know I can trust you. Steeds Hill's been kind. We do a bit of horse trading, literally, with Liam Dufresne. Mm-hmm. He's been a good friend to us.
He's a good man.
Well, I'll start, I suppose, a while back now. I mean, less than half a decade ago, I was out in the street pulling a handcart. I didn't have two brass pennies to rub together, nor a pot to piss in. The pot I'd piss in, I'd have to return to, I'd have to go sell off to the dyer. That's where I was. And then the war started in the north. That's a bad one. Ladies and or young women and men get conscripted and get themselves killed. No damn good reason save for a bunch of foreign bastards trying to encroach upon our land. They drove us out. We came here. We did what we could. We shoveled the shit. We cleaned out the chamber pots. We came here with nothing. I mean, you know that.
Mm-hmm. Never thought I'd be so far from home.
Well, that was a long time ago. Before the rest of Grawlstadters came, I came here with my family. We knew there was stuff to be. We knew there were things to be done in Durendal. The Baroness, he smiles. Dupre, she reached out to us. Sent an emissary out to our village. Said, come to Durendal. We'll keep you safe. We'll give you a new home. So we did. We shoveled shit, slung piss for a month. Then some fellas in black armor and wearing gold on their heads said, we need gunpowder. That's the day that all kind of changed. Those fellas, black knights, where they are, they demanded the Baroness more gunpowder, so our job shifted. The Jennies down south started coming around from the Maw saying, we need more shit. We gotta use it to make saltpeter. So, that's what we set out to do. We get approval from the Baroness to triple our efforts. We hired up a lot of local Durendalese, Grawlsters when they came number of months later. Mm-hmm. And the whole city was ours. The whole city is ours. I mean, you can't enter a district where you won't see one of the Night Soul Collective in the morning in the street. Not a desirable job, but something to be proud of. Something that's needed. Something we could give back to the Baroness for all of her the love that she gave us, the home that she gave us. The saltpeterman, right? Those fellows who are associated with the Jennies. Well, we had a deal with them.
Like Lichtman and Zoik, or Zork, or how do you say that guy's name?
Gildman and Zach? Zox?
Zok?
I don't know what you're talking about there, but...
Foundry. Gildan Foundry?
He shakes his head. I don't know about the Foundry.
The saltpeter men. They're the ones that you sell the soil to, right?
Yeah, we take it to them in Riverside. We got a exclusive deal, if you will. Or had an exclusive deal. All very unofficial. It wasn't too long after that the crows started roosting in the trees. Corvino. And them fair semi-bastards. They've been trying to get on up in the Night Soil Collective for some time. Pushing us around, stealing carts, come to sticks once, come to violence. Carino man dies. Now poor Ed Nightman dies. It only gets worse from there.
Matt, may I ask? Is there not enough knights to go around?
Not to keep up the demands. I mean, everyone's got to take their morning constitutional.
Right.
But we got a deal with the Baroness, so that's us. And we got the saltpeter, and when we get that agreement tightened up, at least until recently.
So are the saltpetermen now using the Ferrosimi?
Seems like they're just buying anything that they can get their hands on.
I'm curious.
Man that high, I'm guessing? They'll just buy anything?
Gunpowder's always need, yes.
Something you gotta know about Ed Nightman and his son. They may have been shit slingers, for lack of a better term, scraping the gong. But they got their ear to the cobblestone, so to speak. They hear things in the city. We got several people like Nightman throughout Restorendal. I mean, you don't come to the top of the heap without knowing how to hold position. Now, we've come to sticks, but nothing like this.
What makes Nightman so special? You got a lot of gong farmers out there. Why'd they come after him?
Or was it wrong place, wrong time for him?
I don't think so. Ed was looking into something for me. I'm sure he had his duties. No pun intended.
Well,
Ed was getting close, maybe too close, to the Corvinos. He told me just a fortnight ago that Corvinos bribed on the saltpetermen to forge a document that guarantees the saltpetermen only buy dung from one designated operator in the future. I don't know nothing about no legal whatnots. I don't know no shit about how Brigandine works or any of that. But we've had an agreement with saltpetermen. This document, official as it may be, if it goes up the line, there ain't gonna be much we can do.
So you're gonna do the work, and they're gonna be the middlemen. They're gonna take your shit and make silver, and you're gonna get copper.
Well, we're gonna get less than that.
So, well, I mean,
doesn't that have to be signed by the Baroness, or
right?
Enacted by her? And if she is allied with you, why would she do so?
Baroness is too busy for this shit. She's got underlings to take care of that. I don't know nothing about none of that, but what I do know is this. The Corvinos bribed somebody among the saltpetermen to forge this document. That document is, well, hell, that's what's going to make or break us. Corvino's goons are just pushing us around. We didn't think he'd come to this, but These Ferrisimi are violent killers. They ain't got no good sense in them. And you can't meet a man with violence. You can get nowhere at that.
We all know that too well.
Well, he said Nightman got close to these people, so obviously he knows at least somewhat where they operate out of, or he might have had an idea. So do you know where they come from? A place to meet them?
Place to meet who, I'm sorry?
The Corvinos, the Ferrisimi.
Well, you can go barking up that tree, but I don't know what you're going to solve with that. Corvinos like to stick you as much as talk to you.
Good to know, man.
I can tell you this. Boss Sylvia Corvino stays in the Maiden's Outhouse. But you go there, you're going to get killed.
Still good to know where not to go.
That's right. There's probably about 50, 60 people there. Lowlifes, other goons, enforcers. The whole nine yards.
The Maiden's Outhouse, is that a tavern of sorts?
It's a shit-ass watering hole.
Where
at? Yeah, what district?
Oh, it's outside of Riverside, not far from Founders Square. It's between a slaughterhouse and a dyer. I don't recommend going there if you're thinking what I'm thinking you're trying to do here.
No, I'm thinking of where not to go.
You won't mistake it, though. The accents get real thick, like marble mouth around them parts. That's when you know you're near Ferrisimi.
Mm-hmm.
Stink like cologne. All of them wear chains around their neck.
Well,
rings on their pinky, like they're fancy.
Cologne might stink, but at least it smells better than whatever that reek is.
Ah, the reek, he says, smiling. I can tell you something about that.
Please do.
Alright.
But before we get to that, I got a problem that needs to be solved.
Oh.
We're listening.
I'm listening, he says.
Okay. Well, then what do you want to listen to? As Terran looks extremely confused.
Y'all got some clout. There's no doubt about that. You, Dufresne, you got some mission that's important to you. You wouldn't become talking to no shit-slinger if there wasn't something on your mind, something on Liam's mind. So what is it?
Well, Liam's got nothing to do with it. But we do want to know what's going on with the reek. Give us information.
Yeah, as I point to my eyes.
Boy, you got the sting, he says.
Right.
You get that looked after.
I haven't got it done yet. Just woke up this morning with it as I scratch my eyes.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
You're not the only one.
You try not doing it, all right?
What if someone else does?
I can tell you about the reek.
So is this a tit for tat? Is that what you're asking?
Look.
Tell us about the reek and we do something for you.
We're all just trying to make our way in this world. I think we could agree with that.
Right.
To be plain, I need something and you need something. You do what I need and I'll do what you need.
You're asking us to take care of this, let's call it a contract dispute then?
In a matter of speaking, but he takes his boot and he kind of taps it at the bottom of your scabbard of your sword. You start swinging swords around here, you're likely to get either killed by the Corvinos or hung by the Brigandine.
Right.
Yeah, we've already had that explanation given to us.
We were told to keep our swords sheathed in Riverside. This lies outside such a place.
Leland's a son of a bitch, don't get me wrong. But he's got a lot of pull with the Baroness. A lot of pull with her inner circle. He's a Belguard. You don't fuck with Belguards.
God damn it, I didn't know he was a Belguard.
Of course.
I think he's likely on the take.
He's awfully, yeah.
There's no way this gets to this point without his knowing.
No.
Yeah, I was suspicious of him, almost immediately.
So, obviously, the violent approach is not going to work. So, how do we speak to the Saltpeterman to see about this contract?
Or do you know what Saltpeterman set up the contract?
Unfortunately, a lot of information died with Ed Nightman. But what I can tell you is this. Saltpeterman got themselves a compound in Riverside. That you already know. Tell me, how much you know about what's going on in Durendal here in these parts recently?
Well, we did pretty much just show up yesterday, so...
We know, production of gunpowder is being asked for by the king for the war effort, and then the war effort's over, yet he still wants the same amount. And we know there's been lots of accidents around that production level. Lots of innocents hurt. Lots of people maimed. You know that King's not favored in the streets. Or at least in Riverside.
Well, you talk about the people in the streets, you talk about some real upset folk. But we're not talking about the Night Soil Collective, we're not talking about the Corvinos or even Saltpeterman. Saltpeterman are exactly where they need to be.
That's 13, then.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm sure.
What of them?
You know about the prophet?
Yeah, we've heard about him.
We saw their pamphlet.
A word written on a pamphlet. That's the furthest I've gone.
Yeah. And Sir Leland seemed to be quite eager to take it away from us.
Well, Sir Leland and the rest of, Brigandine got themselves a right to be afraid of 13.
Why is that?
What do you think happens when you, put a bunch of men and women in a factory full of gunpowder and tell them to work for brass pennies?
Huh.
Shit happens?
Mm-hmm.
You know that. Riverside ain't dangerous because of violence. It's dangerous because the factories, gunpowder. It's dangerous business. Real dangerous. 13 got themselves and they're pretty fired up, so to speak. He says,
"Gunfire and gunpowder don't mix."
That's right.
Or they do, depending on how you look at it.
That's right.
Rather well. Well, from what y'all said, they were rolling around an empty barrel of gunpowder. He's right below it. She's right below you.
Right in front of you.
He's just like,
you almost rolled on her.
Yeah.
They're all fired up. I can tell you that. Rumor is 13's going to strike against the Saltpeterman. That's been the war on the street for the past couple of nights since Penumbra.
Huh.
So a walkout won't work.
Not a walkout.
A seizure.
You got it. The prophet. Ooh. He's serious. He's real serious.
You sure he's just not out for a prophet?
I'm sure he is.
Does he actually have the people's best interests at heart?
Be careful about casting dispersions about the 13th.
I'm asked just to understand.
Seek understanding with him direct. Go listen to him talk. Go listen to his people. See what they say about him. Do you know they stand on gunpowder barrels?
Yeah, we saw it.
Right.
Yeah, and they happen to have torches right above them.
That's right. Every agitator in the street with a 13 wheels and barrels around. Full of 13 ounces of gunpowder. You know the thing about gunpowder, 13 ounces is enough to blow up a small city square.
Sounds like one mighty gunpowder plot.
13 are serious. I'm telling you. Serious as a heart attack. And the prophet, he's the one who's got him.
Medicine's So we have a 13. Are they responsible for the reek?
We'll get to that after you finish this business up. You get that document back for me.
Still giving us little to go on unless you assume that the 13 somehow have the document. I appreciate the information, but to be honest, I feel like we're talking circles around what we actually need to know.
The beauty of being Dufresne agents is that you investigate.
I understand.
Right?
That's why I'm asking questions.
You're asking questions that I can't answer. Mm-hmm. Nightman's dead. Any information that would have been known by the Night Soul Collective was in his head. That's mighty unfortunate. He was a good man. But that's about as much as I can tell you.
Right.
You don't think his boy would know anything?
Information. What's that?
So you don't think his boy would know anything? Maybe that's why they tried to beat it out of him.
That's what they probably tried. But Chuck is... he's a hard worker. He's earnest. He's not like his dad.
Mm.
Ed was a little different north.
Mm.
Some of us were.
How many people are involved with Saltpeter
Men? Or do you have a contact within them? How about that?
Saltpeter Men, well, they're pretty numerous. But you'll know them when you see them. Most of them shaved head to toe. They work for the Jennies.
Wait, completely shaved?
That's right. Hmm.
Do you know who leads them?
Do they have a guild boss?
Sorry, one second here. What was that again, madam?
Do you know who leads them?
Well, I can't rightfully name who their leader is, but I can tell you that they're loyal to the Genevieve in the mall. But that's miles from here. The Jennies, what we call them.
That's what everyone calls them.
Yep.
You just nod to their faces.
Yep.
All right.
You're not going to get anywhere near the Saltpeter Men on your own. That's just the facts.
All right.
The way y'all look, the way you all operate, he's very cautious with his words. Your best way ends with a 13.
So we join the cult?
I hear an answer to the damn questions for you.
I'm asking
you. I can't
you.
Tell you what to do.
I looked at Terwin.
I do apologize. I do have business to do, and Ma's inside getting settled in the kitchen. It's almost time to break our fast.
So what was it you needed from us again?
The document to destroy.
He wants the contract.
Bring it back here.
What if we can only destroy it?
No deal. Document comes back untouched. I'll tell you everything you need to know about the reek after that.
So, I just want to make sure I understand. You know things about the reek that are affecting the health of people, but you're going to withhold that information until we get you a document. I just want to make sure we know where we're standing.
That's called a tit for a tat.
Well, that's called putting the public health and welfare at risk. But okay, I mean, I was going to help anyway.
Stay out here in the Nightsaw Collective. You won't get sick.
I'm already sick.
I smell the reek out of here.
Smell it.
Listen, I imagine that this man here wants to help out of the goodness of his heart, but he's also in a terrible predicament that he only believes that he can get help from people like us because he's gone to the Brigandine and they've done nothing.
That's right.
And he don't know us at all. Except for maybe the reputation of our organization.
Steeds Hill's a bunch of problem solvers. That's how I see it.
So,
knowing y'all good problem solvers, I don't see what 2 hours would what 10 hours would do to hurt anybody else.
Other than the reek goes stronger.
Well, no.
But I do believe we're stuck between a rock and a hard place at this point and should just leave this man to go speak to who we need.
I'm inclined to agree. I thank you for your help.
What's our guarantee, though, that you actually know?
I'm a man of my word, sir. I'm a Gralstetter.
I'll take him at that.
Well, I mean, you're asking us to do a Cahabro shuffle here.
That's good.
So, you're asking us to go to the 13 to use their incursion into the Salt Peterman's organization and take this document and bring it back to you.
So
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question in my mind about that. But how do we know that you know what you're saying, you know? And I don't give a shit about your Gralstetter Northern Brotherhood. I need, you know, what is it?
Here's the thing. I know people. I know Gralstetters. He ain't talking true, which he is. Everyone I know will know it. I'll ruin his reputation.
Let's get the right of it.
He looks like he's doing all right for having whatever reputation he's got.
Well,
so.
You know, you see, I'm not worried about any of it.
Right, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
I don't think he's lying at all, because you know what happens to people who lie to Steed Zill. When there are many things on at stake.
You get their hides chapped in the right way.
And, you know.
All right, boss.
Let's go to work.
Yeah.
All right. You and Warren trust him? I'll trust you.
I'll walk out
the proverbial door.
Yeah.
You all step out into the hillside, leaving him in your wake. Yeah. He nor the workers are anywhere within earshot as you collect together near a tree. The smell of the reek is horrible.
Yeah. Let's
keep moving.
Yeah. I don't know that I have the long of it, but let me throw something on and see if it sticks.
Wait.
The Ferrisum got to make money from the shit, right?
Hold on to that thought. Because I'm with him. We need to leave.
Right. I thought you said we were out of.
You're out of ship. Once again, you're out of earshot. You're near a tree. You're down the hill. You're away from Henry Black's.
You said that in one ear.
No worries.
Okay.
You were also out of earshot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You also have crop ear.
Still.
Yeah.
Crop ear.
I'm just gonna throw this out there and see if it sticks. Right. Maybe I'm missing the salient details, but seems to me the Ferrisum have a vested interest in saltpeter keeping to get made into gunpowder, right? That's why they've got their hooks in this contract to kind of siphon off the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just let them do the fucking dirty work for them? Tell them what the 13 is up to. Tell them they're going to take the money and let them fucking take care of it. If there's 80 of them.
Let them kill the For 13?
How do we
still get the document?
Yeah, we'll worry about that afterwards. We'll have done the saltpeterman a big favor at that point.
And how do we get on speaking terms with them when we've threatened violence against them?
Yeah, what you forgot this, what you didn't see this morning was I kind of beat a boy.
Hmm?
I'm going to smack that Ferrisimi around, and he ran off.
Okay, you're saying he didn't see it. Okay.
He didn't see. He didn't see him. So what he's saying is, we already kicked that hornet's nest.
Well, I mean, I see what you mean, but somebody who's fucking with their money is a lot more significant than that.
He's got a point, boss. I don't know which side do you want to play. You want to play the help the poor indigent, blown up cultists, or do you want to help the Covino gangster family? That's two choices.
Okay, it's one we would call literally in the book. It's a shitty situation.
It would be truly a shitty situation.
I know I've
I do have a question, though.
Shoot.
The man that you chased on the ship. He said something about the fact that he had no hair. They brought up the fact that a saltpeterman's easy to spot by having no hair. And that corpse, they shaved it to make sure it looked like him, yes?
Yeah.
So...
But I thought that was... You're of the... Gibdunish, right? Of
he was
folk?
He was a folk.
I'm really uncertain as to what you're asking right now.
Well, yeah. What's the blue wolf folk?
Hey, what you're saying
the blue wolf folk.
Is like if a Dunman said, you know, to you, hey, you're Ravenian, right? You're kind of saying the same thing.
I don't mind being called Ravenian because, you know, I'm in Ravenia. But what I'm saying is, you know what the blue wolf people are, right? Are they always hairless?
Is anyone always anything?
Well, I'll look at Warren.
Look, if people tend to have defining features that they make it a point to take upon themselves, whether it's tattoos or whether it's having no hair, if you're going to be around a place that has that same defining feature, then you will be associated.
Yeah, like she said, some stereotypes, so,
McGillicrest says a handsome, matter of fact, and honest.
I would not go with that as the stereotype, but yes.
The people see what they expect to see.
But what I'm going with is he said if someone is bald and has no hair, then they are a saltpeterman. He said that there was a man that you chased out. Tattoos or not, I don't know someone's particular affectation towards that, but he didn't have hair, yes?
Yes. For a folk, he had guns.
No, he isn't folk.
Yeah, guns, which you need saltpeter to make pyre shot.
Therefore, I am not saying that necessarily leads us to the next step, but it is something we need to keep in mind, yes?
Person of
interest. Yeah. All right. Fancy the question that you assessed earlier. The Corvinos every time. I'll take them.
You take the Corvino.
I know what they're after. They're after a fucking coin. I can't predict someone who's high on the spirit.
History.
Man's got a point. But again, if you're trying to ingratiate yourself with the locals, do you choose local or do you choose foreign gangster?
Well, there's been multiple people who've known we're from the Dufresne Agency, and if you think that a group that says down with the king is going to be okay with us walking in.
Well, I mean, if we're, maybe if we're clever, we can do both.
Clever has much to do with it more than them being dumb.
Now he's speaking like me. It's a Cahabran shuffle. Let everybody else do the work for us. And then slip in the door, take the writ, walk out.
So we incite the fight, and then while it's going down, we go in and we take the document.
Wait,
I see what you're saying.
Wait, is any of us second storymen? Last I checked, we wasn't.
Nope.
I was like, but boss... No.
Hi, puppy.
You do realize that I can see, right? Like it's...
I admitted to lighting the boat on fire.
Wait, have you done some chimney sweeping in your time?
Excuse you, the allegations here seem just wrong. No, I...
Her name is Sadie. She's a level one cutie.
Well,
it says nothing to that. That
Well,
so cool.
So how are we gonna slip in then?
If you free the saltpeter of this problem, then they'll probably be more inclined to do you a favor. May not need to sneak in anywhere.
Maybe we find a second storyman and hire him to do it.
Or that, I guess.
Well, I think
that may be a violation of your charter.
I mean, I'm not just saying that you do it, but
Alistair's
got
a good point here. The problem is, we're in a bad situation. So you need to choose, boss.
Not as bad as the saltpeterman, man.
Well, you know, I say kind of let it all fall, let the chips fall. Or maybe we even tell. We find out when they're going to do their attack, and we tell the Ferrisimi that the attack is actually 30 minutes after that, or a stone's turn after. That way, the saltpetermen are in desperate need. Send the Ferrisimi in. We just walk in straight through the door,
wait,
busted gates and all.
So the saltpetermen and the 13, they're the same thing, right?
No.
They're against each other.
Taryn, have you been involved in the conversation?
Well, a lot of ins and outs, man.
The 13.
There's a lot of names to keep track of.
My lady friend, man.
Excuse me for a moment. She switches to the side away from your cropped ear. She goes, all right. So, how it falls down is the 13 are trying to take the salt peterman out. Yes?
Yeah.
Makes sense. And then, just speaks louder, and then the Ferrisimi are trying to go after the Night Soil Collective so that they can start taking the shite to give it to the saltpetermen, who are apparently going to be blown up by the 13.
Right. Oh, when you put it that way.
And the Night Soil Collective don't care about public safety and just want their money still for shite. So everyone is currently fighting over shite. That's...
the war for dung.
It is.
That's
truly a war for dung.
Shitey situation.
It is. That is where we are at.
All right, so
all of this comes down to we need to find out why it smells like not shite. Instead of just shite here. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, boss.
Yeah, something like that.
I'd say that as a summary, yes?
I forgot about the ear thing.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, boss.
So we will take a pause here and return in just a few moments for episode 12 of The Queen of Embers. Yes.
What?
Why? Huh?
So,